welcome to NSTA, The Bus Stop. This is the official podcast of the National School Transportation Association. I am Kurt Mackison, Executive Director, and so pleased to be joined by Trish Reed. She is Vice President and General Manager at IC Bus, and it's actually been a while since she's been on the podcast, but she has joined us today. And Trish, so glad that we get to speak to you.
Oh, that's great, Kurt. Very happy to be here. Very happy to be back on a podcast and looking forward to our conversation today. So thanks for the opportunity.
No, it's great. And oh gosh, where do we start? But, there's been, a lot going on with the pandemic, but there's also been a lot of organic, evolution going on in school bus. So why don't I start out with you on just an overall state of the school bus industry?
Certainly, yeah. So yeah, I mean, if COVID wasn't enough and the pandemic wasn't enough, we are certainly living through some interesting times right now. Some are challenges and some are opportunities. And when I think about the state of the school bus industry, I think every industry, obviously the most immediate impact that we're all dealing with is just supply chain disruption and inflation. And I just had a meeting this morning talking about the chip shortage and when do we see relief in the chip shortage, and that's impacting everything, from cars to boats to commercial vehicles. And I think right now, and obviously the situation in Ukraine put the more stress on supply chain, but looking through this, I think we're going to continue to have a very challenging 2022 with supply chain and probably even into 2023. But just like all of us got through the pandemic, we'll get through this challenge and then come out better for it. So it's just really critical. I think we all stay in a state of communication and just working through this immediate challenge that we have. But one of the things I've been talking a lot about with the state of the industry with school buses is we will see more change in the next 5 years than we've seen, in the last 50 years. And typically, I think what's interesting is when you think about commercial vehicles, you have automotive kind of leading the charge with change, and then you see commercial trucks, and then you typically see school buses kind of lag that change. And I think what we'll see, obviously, for school buses in the next 5 years is school buses will be the tip of the spear for electrification. For the commercial industry. And so that's exciting, but a lot we all need to learn with that. But I think also in that space with electrification comes, technology with connected, more and more vehicles will become connected and electrification will drive that even more. And then I think autonomous. And I know we all have a hard time believing we'll ever see a school bus without a school bus driver, but the autonomous technology that's out there and available to bring into a school bus to make it easier for the driver. We're all, challenged with hiring and retaining drivers, but I think anything we can do to bring technology in to make it easier for the driver is exciting. So yeah, so a lot of change between, I think, electrification, connected and autonomous. And then obviously we're dealing with the driver shortage and getting through that. So yeah, no lack of opportunities for any of us in the school bus industry today.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you mentioned it several times, in your answer, but change. And so, I think it'd be interesting for the listeners to know, how do you and how does IC, maintain its focus and how do you, what are some of the things that the pieces of advice you can offer with respect to dealing with this confluence of events?
Right. Yeah. So, I tell the team, and I've told several people, the two A words I've never used so much in my life as I have in probably the last 6-12 months is ambiguity and agility. And I'd probably throw fluid in there too, because I think the world we're in general and with electrification, there's a lot of unknowns. We don't have all the answers. Customers are looking for answers. We're all looking for answers. It's going to be an iteration of learning. So I think first and foremost, change, we all deal with change. I think the pace of change is going to increase for the school bus industry. So I think first of all, just getting settled in, how do we all get more comfortable with ambiguity and being more agile, right? So that's one of the things we talk a lot about with IC Bus is how do we get better at that? And then how do we help our customers get better with that? And the other stance, you know, we talk a lot about with IC Bus is just being a thought leader, right, with this change. I mean, one of our focuses is just really, you know, how do we lead the transformation of people transportation by being the most customer centric, the innovative, and really this is the key, most important part, the best solutions provider, you know, with our dealer network. So I think staying focused to that, because I will tell you every day with this amount of change and dealing with it, is you can get unfocused pretty quickly. So it's very, very important to stay focused, whether that's a vision statement or what you and your teams are working on every day, is just stay true to that and, you know, let the noise continue to move around you, but not get distracted by it. So I think that's first and foremost. Obviously, it's exciting for us at IC Bus. As most of the listeners probably know, the acquisition of Traton, which is owned by Volkswagen, was done last summer. So, you know, we're dealing with a lot of change, even with that acquisition. As positive as it is, there's change involved with that. But it's exciting for us because a lot of scale and capabilities in electrification and connected best-in-class solutions for our customers and help them through this change. So I think the other thing, too, is trade-offs and strategic choices. And I think we're all going to be faced with that, you know, in this environment, about that, with how powertrain offerings will change over the next 5 to 10 years and where you put your focus. And part of that is, you know, staying true to the core business today, but also staying focused on where the future and where that movement is going, and being able to put kind of one foot in the future, but still keep one foot in the current, and making sure you're staying true to what's going on today. But you can't certainly stick your head in the sand and pretend like there's not a movement towards electrification happening, and happening quickly, in the school bus industry.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I'm actually going to put a shameless plug in for something that we're doing at NSTA, but kind of grounded in what you're talking about, Trish, and that's, you know, the under the hood waiver that we're saying for the testing requirement. Yep. for potential school bus drivers. And it dovetails with electrification, because what we're trying to say to the motor vehicle agencies is, at a certain point in time, you're not going to be doing under the hood testing for electric buses. And if you don't modernize your standards, what's going to happen is we're not going to be able to test drivers with electric buses at motor vehicle agencies. So, you know, it's a bit of a challenge that, you know, we're fighting, but definitely deeply rooted in what you were saying about keep one foot in the present, but also be looking, you know, towards the future. So I think that's a lot of great advice that you're giving. And you also transitioned me into, I think, our favorite subject matter these days, and that's, you know, the electric vehicles. And, you know, we just came back from our Capitol Hill bus in last week. We know that Kelly gave a great presentation at our EV panel, you know, down in DC. So for folks who weren't there, maybe you can give them a thumbnail sketch about, you know, your outlook for the growth of electrification in school bus.
Right. Well, you know, the first thing I'll do is preface this with what I've told some customers that are NSTA members is, I'm not buying or selling here. I'm just telling you maybe what the tea leaves might be telling us with electrification and movement towards electrification. And I mentioned Traton, our parent company. You know, they've got a model that they've set up that looks at, you know, 100,000 data points of various things. And, you know, funding and grant funding is not a part of that, but it really has to do with scale and where electrification could go. And obviously, I think with the infrastructure bill, that's going to speed up scale faster than we anticipated, than a normal model with just general adoption would happen. So we see that, you know, speeding up the scale. And with that, you know, we look at where the market could go kind of post infrastructure bill, which would be about 2026, is we really see school bus parity at total cost of ownership happening, you know, as we exit the infrastructure bill funding, if not prior. So that's really, it starts making a lot of sense for customers. And so in our projections, I mean, we're thinking by 2030, you know, 80%, you know, of all new school bus purchases will be battery electric vehicles. So when we stand here today in 2022 and you think about how fast that will change of where we think the direction is going, yeah, that's pretty dramatic. But I think after we get post infrastructure bill, it will become just a matter of how we all do business and how we think about the school bus industry and where it's going. And I think one of the things with scale, it's like a snowball running downhill. It gets momentum and it starts going, and it's very difficult to stop. And I think the other interesting thing with electrification that might be different from other alternative fuels we've seen in the school bus industry is it's a lot more mainstream. People get electric, right? The general public understands electric. They know about electric cars, and you know, that wasn't the case necessarily with propane and CNG. So I think we're seeing, you know, just not the industry itself have an interest in electrification. It's really coming from other stakeholders like the parents, the school boards, and the administration of schools, really having a general interest in electrification and, you know, getting questions posed to transportation directors or customers asking, why aren't we moving to electric and why aren't we moving it faster? So I think those are things as an industry, though, and we can talk about this a little bit later, of why, you know, the adoption process in electrification and those steps you take and what customers should be thinking about is so important, because there's got to be some kind of methodical approach here to the adoption, because we really want electric to be successful in the long term. So you've got to have some critical successes in the short term to start that momentum. But again, you know, right now, when you look at the models, again, based on scale and parity of cost of ownership, this could be a drastic change for the school bus industry and the powertrains that we see customers buy by 2030.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, when I think of the people that I engage with, you know, on a regular basis, the level of understanding about the EV and what goes into, you know, making a successful transition really runs the gamut from folks who know a whole lot about it and have done it to folks who are really dipping their toe in the water on this, you know, whole evolution. So I guess I'm going to pose the question to you, Trish. What should customers be thinking about in order to successfully adopt an EV strategy?
Yeah. Well, Kurt, I think mostly comes back to what I said a little earlier. Regardless of where you think the future might be going, if you believe it, electrification is going to move that fast or not, I think the key message to customers is just start learning about it today. It doesn't mean you have to buy an electric vehicle today, but just start learning about it. Start exposing yourself and your teams to electrification. You know, again, those learnings from customers that have tipped their toe in it, you know, what's worked, what's not. So I think it's really about, you know, start the learning process today. I think obviously, you know, what we think from IC Bus and then also from the customer's perspective is this sales process is a lot different because there's a learning process in here. Just what you said, a lot of people don't know what you don't know about electrification. So how do you prepare, you know, and putting the critical time in before delivery or even making a purchase decision is really, really important. And even infrastructure, there's a long lead time on infrastructure right now. I mean, it could be anywhere from 12 to 24 months to get the infrastructure, depending on if you need upgrades to the electricity coming into the building and then how many charging stations, you know, a customer might need. But I also think about that as customers think about the movement of electrification, you know, what does year one to year three look like? And then even be thinking about what does year five look like? Because you want to plan for that. You might not be settled in for sure of how many vehicles are going to move over to electrification, but, you know, be thinking about what the long term is. And I think from IC Bus, you know, we talk about the five C's: consulting, charging, constructing, connecting, and conserving. We cannot stress the importance of consulting, which I actually kind of put charging into that because that's part of it. But really making sure that we look at route optimization. And again, I'd stress from our perspective at IC Bus, this is less about selling an electric school bus as is making a successful learning journey and adoption into electrification. So what we do is we look at routes and say, okay, is this a good route to move to an EV bus or is it not? And that can depend not just on range, but the terrain, the ambient temperature, because that can impact range, and even accessories, you know, on the school bus. So looking at all those inputs and what are the routes, you know, if a customer said, hey, I'd love to move 40 of my vehicles to electric, and we do a route study and say, well, maybe today 20 is the best number to move to electrification. And then as technology continues to improve, we can look at those route routes and look at how technology improves the range, you know, based on all those inputs. So that is really, really important. And then the charging capabilities and making sure the right charger, the right speed is paired up with the right number of vehicles. So there's a lot of planning and a lot of considerations. And I think, again, that's where our focus at IC Bus is really around the necessary support consultation to make the decision, you know, for a customer the best for their fleet. And the other thing, you know, I've been to talk a lot about within IC Bus and as I talk to other customers and within the industry is electric is the right thing to do, but it's really important we do it the right way. So that would be the one thing I'd stress to customers is, and be okay. Customers don't have all the answers. That's why us and everyone else is out there to help you go through that. But it is a learning iteration, and it's not something you just jump into today and say, no, I want to buy an electric bus tomorrow. There's a lot of planning and considerations that go into it.
Yeah, and that's such a great point. And when we think about it, if you deconstruct, you know, what's going on right now with respect to, you know, operating a bus and the power sources and the ability for operators to, you know, ensure that they're getting, you know, in this case, whether it's diesel or compressed natural gas or even propane, you know, there's a structure to that. And in a lot of respects, we're codependent. But as we move into the EV space, I think we become a little more codependent. And you mentioned it, the utilities, infrastructure. So a lot of that takes planning. So as you go along on this journey, I'm sure that, you know, IC and the other OEMs are, you know, dealing with a number of different changes and challenges, you know, as you go along. Can you highlight, you know, and you mentioned some of them, but when we deconstruct it and we're talking about 480,000, you know, school buses across the nation, you know, every day, maybe folks aren't looking at it as globally as that. Maybe they're just looking at it as their individual operation. But surely from an OEM standpoint, you know, there are some sleepless nights that you have, you know, thinking about the magnitude of, you know, what's going to go on. So maybe you can highlight some of those challenges for us.
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing, and I mentioned it earlier, with just the current state of the industry is just the supply chain disruption, right? And that is not, you know, that is definitely, you know, a challenge we see in the EV space too, when as the suppliers are about to try to tier their supply to the kind of scale that we're talking about, you know, that managing through that change and being able to tier that scale is really, really important. You know, our dealer channel, you know, this is a big change for customers. It's a big change for our dealer channel. And we're spending a lot of time with our dealers talking about this change and making sure we're all ready, you know, not about the support after the sale, but also just helping customers through the decision-making process and really putting on a whole different kind of approach to the sales process and the consulting approach. So, you know, ensuring our dealers, which are a very important part, you know, of IC Bus and any OE, is making sure they're ready for that change. I think the other thing is just, again, you know, building the electric school buses in Tulsa. So ramping up Tulsa to build more EVs while we're still building, you know, internal combustion engines in Tulsa. So, and making sure we're all devoting, again, the appropriate time to electric, but still, you know, taking care of the core business and internal combustion engine business that we support today. So that's really important. But I think just the other thing is just looking at what states, you know, are moving faster. And again, we have interest from every customer in every state today, right? And wanting to learn more. So I think it's just, again, putting the time and attention to all those customers. But we certainly have some states that are moving, you know, we read in the news, there are certain states moving faster with or without an infrastructure bill to electrification, you know, so making sure we're putting the right number of resources and focus in those areas as well, while we're supporting all 50 states and Canada to transition to electric. So, and again, it's time consuming. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing we're seeing is because this, again, is a learning process. This isn't a change of, hey, we're going from selling, you know, we're changing from diesel to gasoline. This is a dramatic shift and different for our customers, and even the education process and even taking that into first responders and how first responders manage with electrification. So thinking about the breadth of education you have to do outside of your typical stakeholders are all the things we're thinking about and considering as we move forward.
Yeah, all great points. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the things we talked about in the last couple of questions is, have been the challenges that, you know, we see with this evolution. But then there were also, you know, customers who've made the switch to electric successfully. So can you talk about those and perhaps what other customers can learn from their success stories?
Right. Yeah. So I think it's great. You know, we, you know, just like with any technology, you have the early adopters and have moved into this. We certainly have got some, you know, those customers in California. I think for IC, you know, for the buses we deployed, it was a learning process for us and the customer. We deployed our first electric buses in BC, Canada. Probably if you picked the place you would deploy electric buses, that would not be your first choice. But the customer had a real interest into moving to electrification. And we thought, hey, if there's a great test here, this is the test to move into BC. So we did that. And I think one of the lessons learned there, it's worked out great. And I think one of the key factors of that is, again, what supports our customers today is the support after the sale. And when there's an issue, question, or problem, that the dealer and IC bus is responsive to that. So that's very, very important because it's an iteration of learning for us and the customer. But I think the biggest thing with that was one lesson learned was just the infrastructure investment, making sure the scale of the infrastructure investment is as much as you're investing into the vehicles themselves. So that was probably a lesson learned. But the other fun piece of this that we've learned from BC is they're having a lot of fun with their drivers. You know, I think there was some concern around the drivers, you know, adoption into electrification. They're having a lot of fun with it and almost a gamification with it, where with the regenerative braking that we have, you know, the drivers are able to see their report and how well they're driving the school bus and what's regenerating power back into the bus. So they're having a lot of fun with the adjustment. So I think, you know, as much as it's a big change, make it fun. Try and make it as fun as you can for your drivers and everyone involved. And again, just appreciate the fact we're on a journey, the learning journey, going back to ambiguity and agility, but make it fun. And that's been some fun stories coming out of BC with that as a success. And then California too, I think in some deployment in California, it's just, again, can't stress the importance of having the infrastructure set up prior to delivery. Again, lesson learned, you know, from a customer's perspective, and we as an OE are trying to reinforce that message and doing that. But, you know, one of the things we've seen with Moreno Valley, which was one of the customers is here recently, is this, you know, packaging, right, of making it easier for them to adapt is, you know, a turnkey solution of just the infrastructure, the vehicles, and kind of a cost per mile to help them move into electrification. I think with that example, it's just helped them move faster and be more comfortable with the change. So again, I think the biggest thing is just going into it knowing you're going to learn something along the way. It's probably not going to be perfect from your own operations, but it's important you start now with that trial and error and learn as you go. And I think, again, with the BC example, you know, that can be stressful for your team. So how do you make it fun and turn it into some gamification as you learn? And again, that's been the best story I've heard out of BC. It was just the amount of enjoyment the drivers are getting out of driving the electric vehicle.
Well, that is great to hear. And look forward to you jumping on a podcast down the line so we can talk about more of those success stories. Before we run, Trish, but a lot of great information on this podcast, I want to thank you and IC Bus for your great partnership with NSTA. You and your team have been great to work with, and I look at it as a journey as well in this EV space. So I look forward to continuing our journey together on that. Once again, at NSTA, the bus stop, Trish Reed, she is Vice President and General Manager at IC Bus. Trish, thanks so much for joining us at NSTA, the bus stop.
Awesome. Thank you, Kurt.